Last Sunday and this Sunday, we have the words to the 23rd Psalm printed in the bulletin so that we can say it together. My idea was that that would help us to learn it. And I actually had the idea that perhaps at some point, you know, on about the third or fourth week, maybe we'll take it out of the bulletin and see if we can recite it from memory without the words in front of us. So, but at least for this morning, we've got a cheat sheet here. We've got the words in the bulletin. And so as I did last week, I will invite us to read the psalm together or recite it if you are able. And just be aware of the fact that our focus this morning will be on verses 2 and then the first phrase of verse 3, 2 and 3a. So let us join in saying this psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we once again prepare to hear what God may have to say to us this morning through this portion of his word, I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Now, Lord, in the midst of these very familiar words, we pray that you would enable us to hear you speaking to us in perhaps fresh new ways. Give us open ears and ready hearts to receive your word this day. And we pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, I've got to admit, when I first heard about the fact that Donald Trump claims to be a Presbyterian, my initial reaction was to be rather skeptical. Okay? So far as I know, there is no Presbyterian church in the country that has his name on their membership rolls. It doesn't seem as though he worships at any Presbyterian church. The only church that he claims a connection with is the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City, but that's a congregation of the Reformed Church in America, and they don't even remember seeing very much of him. And so, you know, Trump's claim to be a Presbyterian did not, to me, seem very credible until this past week. Until this past week, and that is when the Donald's true Presbyterian colors started showing through. News sources started calling attention to a collection of quotes from the Donald, and they include instances where he has attacked Hillary Clinton over her response to the attack on the Libyan consulate. I'm sure you all know this story and this line of attack, but Donald Trump says, you know, when that phone call came in at 3 a.m. in the morning, do you know what Hillary Clinton was doing? She was sleeping. Imagine that. Somebody that would be sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then Trump goes on to assure his supporters that if he was elected president, he would not be sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning because he only sleeps 3 or 4 hours a day. The rest of the time, It is work, work, work. As a matter of fact, in one quote I saw, he said, "Even when I am playing golf, I am doing business. I never stop." I thought to myself, wow, that is spoken like a true Presbyterian. Now, we may not like to admit it. I mean, we may be loath to admit it, but Donald Trump is fashioning himself. He is projecting an image of himself as the perfect embodiment of that good old Calvinistic work ethic. I mean, that is just a part of our heritage. That is who we are. Presbyterians are about the hardest working people there are. I mean, we are achievement oriented. We are driven. We find meaning and fulfillment in our work, and we instill those values in our kids. We have helped to create an entire culture in this country that is permeated by that Calvinistic work ethic. And to be sure, there is biblical support for that idea. I mean, you look at the book of Proverbs, for example, and there are all those admonitions about thrift and industry and saying negative things about the sluggard. And as Presbyterians, we love those verses. We gravitate toward the book of Proverbs and all of that stuff about hard work and being industrious and being thrifty. That is what we're all about. But interestingly, in this psalm, which we said last week, this is really a psalm about life. You know, last week I said, unfortunately, this psalm, usually when we hear it, it's at a funeral. But this psalm is really a psalm about how to live a meaningful, fulfilling, abundant life. And in this psalm of life, the first set of qualities associated with this shepherd who is leading us have to do with rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's not, you know, he forces us to blow through those green pastures so we can keep going. He pushes us to walk 100 miles a day. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. One commentary that I looked at this past week said that phrase could be translated as waters of rest or waters beside the resting place. He restoreth my soul. In other words, he helps me to find ways to be spiritually rejuvenated. He interjects life-giving activities into my daily routine. Now again, there may be some of us who need to be motivated a little bit more. We may need a swift kick in the pants every once in a while. But I suspect that there might be more of us here this morning who need to be reminded of the fact that the shepherd who leads us is one who makes us rest. You know, in the Old Testament system, the economy of the Old Testament, God made his people rest through a Sabbath commandment. And you might know there are all kinds of interpretive issues about whether that commandment applies directly to the people of God living today under the New Testament system. But just even setting aside all those interpretive issues and to some extent theological issues, regardless of how you handle all of that, keeping Sabbath is still a very valuable spiritual discipline. It forces us to slow down. It puts the brakes on. It reminds us that life doesn't just consist in the endless accumulation of things, that in endless busyness, in the rhythm of life as God designed it from the dawn of creation, in the rhythm of life, that cycle is to include both productive activity as well as seasons of rest and refreshment. God created us that way. And you know, sometimes, as some of you can probably attest, the shepherd sometimes has to use rather harsher measures in order to make us lie down. I recently listened to a sermon on this passage by another Presbyterian pastor, and he confessed that, like a good Presbyterian, there was a period in his life when he was absolutely consumed by his work. He craved approval, and so he couldn't say no to any request, anything people asked him to do. He was just always going the extra mile, working harder and harder, all the way up until the day when he collapsed and had to be rushed to the hospital in an ambulance. They thought he was having a heart attack. He actually wasn't. It was just sheer exhaustion. When he returned to his study, he sat down at his desk, and he says at that point his brain was almost numb. He just sat there, and he wrote these words in a journal that he kept. "Lord, I'm tired, and I just want to rest and know that it's okay." And he says that in that moment, the Lord spoke to him. Of course, he's Presbyterian, so the Lord spoke to him in a Presbyterian way, not through an audible voice or words written in the clouds. The Lord spoke to him by recalling to his memory the words of this psalm. And suddenly it was as if through this psalm, God was speaking to him, and he was just overcome with emotion. He says at that moment he literally lay down on the floor of his study, and he just basked in the presence of the shepherd, the one who he realized is the only one whose approval he needed, the one who maketh me to lie down. The rest that is offered by the shepherd is necessary for our physical well-being, but it's also necessary for our emotional well-being as well. Some of you may be familiar with David Brooks, who writes a regular column in the New York Times. He wrote a piece there recently about the need for what he called sanctuaries outside of our work life, outside of our vocational identity, things like play, solitude, family, faith, hobbies, and leisure. And Brooks went on to say, even successful lives need these sanctuaries in order to be a real person, rather than just a productive one. You know, the point he's making is your work life, it can make you very, very productive, but you're more than that. You're more than just a machine that is designed to be productive. It is your outside activities, is these other things that fill in what is lacking, that make you a real person, a whole person. And Brooks goes on to say that without that, you simply become a workaholic. And he says, workaholism is a form of emotional self-estrangement. It's a way of separating us from our feelings and our emotions. Workaholics, he says, are so consumed by their professional activities that their feelings don't inform their most fundamental decisions. The professional role comes to dominate the personality and encroach on the normal intimacies of the soul. And then he closes by quoting Martin Lloyd-Jones, who he doesn't identify, but Martin Lloyd-Jones was one of the great British preachers of the 20th century, preacher at Westminster Chapel in London. And Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Whole cemeteries could be filled with the sad tombstone, born a man, died a doctor." And so the rest that the shepherd offers is necessary for our physical well-being, for our emotional well-being, but it also is necessary for our spiritual well-being. The rest the shepherd offers fills a spiritual need. For a lot of us, if you stop and think about it, our work, our achievements, our accomplishments, they really become a form of self-justification, a way of validating our worth and our significance, a way of even garnering approval from God. We feel almost compelled on a spiritual level to work harder and harder and achieve and accomplish more and more so we can feel good about ourselves, so we can feel that God might accept us. The late Sidney Pollack was, as I'm sure most of you know, an award-winning director and producer. He was responsible for a whole slew of acclaimed movies, some of which are favorites of mine and of Stacy's: Out of Africa, 3 Days of the Condor, The Firm. Towards the end of his life, he was battling cancer, but even in the midst of that disease, he just kept pressing on, the grueling task of churning out more and more and more movies, even as his family was pleading with him to slow down and spend more time with them. Pollack told an interviewer, though, that he couldn't justify his existence if he stopped. He said, "Every time I finish a picture, I feel like I've done what I'm supposed to do, in the sense that I've earned my stay for another year or so." But then, of course, you have to start all over again. You have to do it again. You have to keep going and going and going. It occurred to me that Jesus came into a world where people were working harder and harder and harder, trying to win God's acceptance and approval through their own efforts at keeping regulations, at keeping laws, and often, of course, falling woefully short. Like that shepherd of Psalm 23, a shepherd who in many ways prefigures Jesus, the good shepherd. Like that shepherd, Jesus said to those people, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And if you stop and think about it, that is what the message of the gospel is all about. Just like this psalm begins with the description of rest, that is where the Christian life begins. That is where our walk with God begins, where our spiritual pilgrimage begins. It begins with resting from our efforts to justify ourselves, resting from our efforts to establish our worth, our significance, our identity based on our own efforts. The gospel is all about resting in Jesus, resting in his finished work on the cross. It's about knowing that we are accepted and valued not because of anything that we have done or worked for, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. And so the challenge that I believe we are left with from this verse of the psalm this morning is, first of all, to ask ourselves what activities, bring life to us? What are our life-giving activities that enable us to gain spiritual refreshment, to be spiritually rejuvenated? The shepherd leads us to incorporate those kind of activities into the rhythm of life. But then secondly and more importantly, who am I resting upon for my worth, my significance, my value, in order to be justified? Are you resting in Christ and Christ alone? May that be so for all of us. Amen.